David Stanton, Corky's TD for Fine Gael, Junior Minister in the Department of Justice. You're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much, Darragh. Thank you. Great to be here.
Well, I'm delighted to have you here. And, you know, I was just thinking back over the years. This year now, Michael Noonan is stepping down, Enda Kenny is stepping down, Sean Barrett is stepping down. I'm wondering, are you going to be the elder statesman now, the way things are going?
Well, I've been around for a while, I suppose. Not as long as those gentlemen, certainly, but I've 23 years experience now in the Parliament, in the Dáil, and built up a lot of expertise, a lot of knowledge, how the place works and how systems work overall. I still have the energy and the interest and the fire in the belly for this. And, you know, when I have that, I want to stay at it. I really enjoy it. I really get great personal satisfaction out of it. And I like working for the area here in East Cork, and also there's a national focus in the last couple of years as well that I've had, and in, really since I got this job of Minister of State, but even before that in the Dáil itself, there's always a national focus. And then there's the international stuff that's hugely important. So, yeah, I know myself, and my wife will probably tell me too when the time comes that I should stop, but it's not now. I'm asking people for their support once again to continue the work I've been doing. This will be my sixth election, and as we said earlier on off air, you know, people have been generous and kind and supportive of me over the years, and I've done the best I can to give back to the area here and to service the area and to serve the people that elected me as best I can.
Now, David, you were first elected to the Dáil Éireann in 1997, and I suppose you came in at an unfortunate time as a Fine Gael TD, because you weren't going to see office or power until 2011, and we all know what happened there. We don't even need to go back there. We know we're still picking up the pieces. Ireland is a different place now, David, since 1997. We have travelled a marathon, you could say, and I suppose I got your leaflet in the door there this morning, and I suppose what you're going on, a future to look forward to. I'm thinking of Enda Kenny's favourite slogan, which he probably regrets using now, keeping the recovery going in 2016. We went through the crash. We went through the economic crash. Everybody knows it. Everybody felt it. Now we're in 2020, the dawn of a new decade, and I'm getting the feeling that there are still, for a lot of people out there, they're not feeling the benefits. And when we look at our TVs at the moment, David, we're looking at crime, which has just gone out of all proportion. We saw that terrible tragedy in Drogheda. We've had it here in Cork. Deaths and a lot of violence out there. We turn on the radio, we open the newspapers, we hear about the waiting lists, the trolley crisis, the homeless crisis. And you begin to scratch your head, well, have we moved much further from 1997 to 2020? What's your take on all that, Dave?
Yeah, there. I suppose in politics, there will always be challenges, always. And no matter how good things are, how bad things are, no matter what country you go in the world, any democracy, you're going to have challenges. And the challenges will change. You referenced 1997. In 1997, the internet was just about starting. I got my first mobile phone at that time, and I mean, it was very, very large and very basic. And since then, you can see what has happened in the intervening 20 years. You know, going back then, we had maybe one or two channels on television. Now we have Sky Television in every house you call, to massive, big multi-screens and so forth in places. So things have moved on, certainly. We did have the crash, you're dead right. People did suffer. A lot of people had to leave the country. We had massive unemployment. The Troika came to town. All that happened. And you know something? We've got to be careful that doesn't happen again. We can't be complacent. We have to be very, very vigilant. The challenges and the threats are still out there. We have Brexit not finished yet. We're only at halfway stage. That's a massive, massive challenge to us. And even in the last 2 days, what they've been saying over there is that they want to diverge from the European standards, number one. And then today, the Trump administration told them they wouldn't have any trade deal if they taxed the social media in that area. So that's hugely challenging for us. We have done a huge amount of work over the last number of years to get where we are with Brexit, not to have a hard Brexit, which would have destroyed this country, I would contend. So we've got where we are now. We have the economic border down the Irish Sea, which is huge. The border in the north will not exist. And it doesn't exist at the moment as such. It's only a line on a map. We don't want towers back there again and all that went with that. People seem to kind of put Brexit to one side, but it's not finished yet. It's still there, and it needs huge work. What's happening globally? We're a very open economy, and we have to be vigilant all the time. We have a very strong, experienced team in the Dáil, in our government, to make sure that we can do the job, and we have that team. At the moment now, we have the fastest growing economy in Europe. And what worries me hugely is the growth of drugs, the drug scene. And there seems to be a link, and a lot of commentators have said this, between the availability of money in society and the rise of the use of cocaine, for instance. And anybody there who takes cocaine out there has a responsibility for the crimes that you mentioned, because they are feeding and fueling the drug lords, the criminals, the drug barons that are making a lot of money on this, and they are exploiting young people who are vulnerable people. We have opened Templemore. We have increased the Garda recruitment. We have given the Garda a lot of resources, a lot of ICT. They have the biggest budget they ever had, and we want to support them in every way possible. And we have to do that, and they have to have the best of equipment, the best of training. And that's what's happening with the Gardaí.
But of course, David, that needs to be followed up then by our judiciary, our judicial system, that these people, I was reading there yesterday, Veronica Gearden, God be good to her now, her brother came out and has made a call for reinstatement of internment to get these criminals off our streets. Because what we're all seeing happening is the guards are out there, they're doing their bit, they're collecting the evidence, they're arresting the culprit, they're bringing them into the court, and that's where it all falls apart. Either there's not enough room in the jail for them, or the judge might say, well, look, we'll give them another chance. Let them go away and get rehabbed. But to the person who has suffered badly as a result of these crimes, it's not great. It's not a great outcome for them.
It's not. Our jails, actually, the Gardaí have been quite successful. If you take Limerick, a number of years ago, Limerick was a no-go area. So we put huge resources in there, and the guards went in, and a multi-agency task force went in there, and Limerick now has changed dramatically. All those people that you mentioned are now in prison serving long sentences, and rightly so. And the same will happen in other parts of the country where this is going on. But I ask people out there again who go out on a night now, and instead of having a pint, they're having cocaine. They're actually helping to fuel this. Mm-hmm. And they have a responsibility. I would plead with them, please stop. The other side of this coin, and it's something that I've been working on for quite a bit, is youth justice. We've got to ensure that our young people do not actually travel the road of crime and are not tied up in this. We did this Greentown study where Sean Redmond in the University of Limerick studied young people who got involved in crime networks. And it's frightening stuff how they're drawn into it and pulled into it. And then they progress and they get promoted as it goes along. So we've got to disrupt that, stop that, and provide alternatives like they've done in Iceland. And I've looked at the Icelandic model, and they focus an awful lot there on activities for young people, sports, youth centres, youth clubs, and it's something that I'm personally committed to. And I've been pushing that very, very hard. I brought together a group of experts here in Ireland to advise me in my role as Minister of State and Justice with respect to youth justice and to develop a new youth strategy. Unfortunately, the election has come before I had a chance to publish it, but I'm hoping that it will be published after the election as a discussion document. And I also want to engage with young people as the next phase of that. But the Icelandic model is really interesting. They had similar problems that we have here now. And the literature tells me, and I've read it, that the amount of crime involved in juveniles has dropped there, antisocial behaviour has dropped, drug use has dropped, alcohol abuse has dropped, and mental health issues have improved in Iceland. Now, I know it's a very small country. They have another thing, they have a kind of a voluntary curfew for teenagers, and they advise parents not to have teenagers out after a certain time at night. So that's an interesting one. I don't know whether it'll work here, but again, parents should know where the young people are.
If you don't try something, you don't know whether it's going to work.
Well, yes, but parents should know where young people are anyway, and not have them out in the streets and being preyed upon by older youths and criminals, and that are pulling them into all kinds of networks. So this is very, very complex, and we have to approach it from a whole lot of different angles. Yes, we have got to deal with the drug barons. Yes, we've got to deal with the local drug pushers. Yes, we've got to divert young people away from this kind of antisocial behaviour by using sport. And that's why we were very, very pleased to open the Sports Capital Programme, very pleased to see clubs applying for money, and very pleased as a government in the last number of years to be able to provide funding to clubs, all kinds of sporting clubs and organisations, so that they're doing great work to help young people get involved in healthy physical activity and keep away from antisocial, unhealthy, dangerous activity.
Now, David, I want to take you back to something you said there a little while ago, that we have the fastest growing economy in probably, it's certainly in Europe. And we're here down in the studios of CRY here in Youghal. And I'm talking to people every day down here about, you know, we've a growing economy. How is it impacting on their lives? And the message I'm getting is that they feel that Youghal has been forgotten about. Yes, we had the Ironman triathlon that came last year, but in saying that, it took a group of people to come together to plan this event before the county council decided to get involved. And now they're hopping up and down and almost claiming ownership. Industry is on the decline here in Youghal, and I think a lot of that has got to do with transport, public transport. The public transport service down here is absolutely abysmal. And talking to another candidate, well, he's for Waterford there, Marco Cahazic, there earlier, he was visiting places like Tallow and Lismore and Capoquin yesterday. He was getting it in the neck as well. They're promoting their green agenda, which is fine. But public transport is key to business and key to people to get around. People in Youghal feel as if they've been forgotten with this move with a fast-growing economy.
Yeah, Youghal certainly went through a huge downturn. There's no doubt about that, when a lot of the traditional industries here closed and there was a lot of unemployment here. A lot of the rest of the country did as well at that time. And I'm very, very conscious of that. And I have been working very, very hard to bring investment into Youghal. Infrastructure was important, and one of the most important pieces of infrastructure we had in Youghal was the wastewater treatment plant. Now, that was €26 million of investment in here. And that meant that all the raw sewage that was flowing into that beautiful harbour out there is now stopped. When Ironman came last year to Youghal, they had to test the water. Now, I know the swim didn't go ahead because of the day was in it, but the water was as clean as it has ever been. And that's a huge investment. Now, that means that there's a foundation laid for further development and growth in the town. That's hugely important. On the Ironman issue, I do know that the local group came together with the idea, went to the county council, came to me. I secured €300,000 of government funding to make this happen. It wouldn't have happened otherwise. €300,000 to make Ironman happen here. One of the biggest events ever. And I think there'll be other spin-offs from that. I know the initial contract is 3 years, and hopefully we'll get another five after that. We're looking forward to it this year. The Greenway from Middleton to Youghal, a massive project. And that's going to bring more people here into the town on their bicycles. And it's a healthy activity. Again, people are saying, why not bring the train? The train will be extraordinarily expensive. However, we have now secured the way. The actual trackway is there. And in future decades, if some government in the future wants to put a track there, they can. In fact, I'm told it's wide enough for both, because there was supposed to be double track initially. So we have been putting funding in here. The Eco Boardwalk is another one. We want to finish that off. These are all hugely important. The Greyhound track, again, at the moment is under pressure. I want to see that staying open.
I know you made a comment about that in December, yeah. Because it's something that it's important for the town.
Absolutely.
And it's been here for such a long time.
And, you know, it's also important for people who love their dogs more than themselves. And I know these people. And they would go hungry themselves before they let the dog go hungry. And they come out. Some of these people are living their own. This is their night out, their social night out. And that's why I'm saying to people, hang on. And I know that there's an issue of animal welfare. That's hugely important. We passed legislation recently to deal with that and to make sure that's correct. So I think that's important. The clock tower, I got funding for that. I brought the Minister Michael Ring down here. We got 200,000 of government funding to add to the $750,000 that the council and CCAD and Fáilte Ireland put in there. The Collegiate Church, a lot of money got in there as well. The pontoon, I mean, that was my work. With some local people who came to me and said, can we have a pontoon? Can we work together to make it happen? I made it happen. We got 112,000 from the government to make that happen. The town walls, I mean, they're magnificent. One of the best in Europe. And again, 150,000 recently for that in 2018 on the Historic Towns Initiative. I could go on about the Slob Bank and the Aura Centre and all the rest of it. One of the things I'm really interested in is a relief road for Castlemartyr. Because what people tell me is...
Well, I was going to bring that up with you, David, because, look, I'm a regular on that road, yep. Travelling between Cove and Youghal. And getting to Middleton is fine. It's great. The N25, it's absolutely perfect. Even getting beyond there is okay. But then you pass Lochaderra on the way into Castlemartyr and the whole thing goes to Ratchet. Mm-hmm. Ditto with Killett as well. Look, we both remember when the bypass for Middleton was first mooted. That's right. And there was absolute anarchy. They said it will kill the town. it's the opposite is true. Middleton is thriving.
We want a second bypass known Middleton at this stage. That's what we're looking at. But what I was really interested in was something that would happen relatively quickly. I know there are possibly long-term proposals and suggestions that we would have a motorway from Cork to Waterford. That's not going to happen in the short term. But what's really needed now, urgently, is a relief road around Castlemartre. They did one in Mitchelstown, if you remember, a number of years back, before the motorway went in. And it made a huge difference to Mitchelstown, which was being choked. So Killa isn't as bad because it doesn't have a cross. But Castlemartre, because of the cross there and the lights and so on, that's the real snarling point. So I met Michael Nolan, and the Chief Executive of Transport Infrastructure Ireland. I sat down with him. I put the figures to him, 22,000 cars a day going through there. And he said, yes, he went away, he came back, and he asked the County Council to carry out a feasibility study. I understand that now is complete, and that the council are going through it to see what's possible. Now, it's a tricky enough area over there, but it would actually, in many ways, bring y'all closer to the city. But if you have a straight run through with no stop. And certainly I've seen it in the summertime, cars backed back almost to Lochaderra in some instances. So we have to actually do that. I'm anxious to do it, but we have to be guided by the engineers and the experts to get the best possible outcome there. So that's something that is with the County Council at the moment for their observations before it's gone back to TII. And I'm hoping that they'll come up with a solution to make it happen.
Now, David, as we approach February the 8th, everybody is going to be asked to, think, who are they going to vote for and why would they vote for somebody? And you look at the present day, and I feel the pain of a lot of people out there, particularly those young people who want to rent a house or they want to rent an apartment. They can't get it. You as junior minister in the Department of Justice with special responsibility for immigration, for example, and we all know the controversy with Verona Murphy down in Wexford at the by-election and the comments she had to make. I was talking to a woman yesterday. She's on the housing list for 15 years. Now, she has no animosity. She doesn't begrudge anybody. But the question she's asking is, when is it going to be my turn to get somewhere to call my own, somewhere to put a roof over my head? And I'm conscious that the media generally focuses on Dublin. But we know, David, down here in East Cork and West Waterford, there are people homeless. There are children tonight in emergency accommodation. We look at our accident emergency services. I remember when the whole primary care facilities were being mooted, it was supposed to be the best thing ever that you could avoid A&E. They don't seem to be working. So why would somebody, David, put their trust in Fine Gael again after 9 years? What are you going to do different?
Well, let's go through a number of issues there. You mentioned primary care. In Middleton at the moment, there's plans to build a new 50-bed hospital to replace the nursing home that's there in the town, the old nursing home that's there. I know there are also plans to do something similar here with regard to a primary care centre up in the St. Raphael site there, and also a daycare centre. I got into politics initially, Dara, because I got involved in building a daycare centre in Middleton. I know the value of it, and I want to see a daycare centre here in Yall and the primary care centre here, and that's on the way. Now, the next thing is, you mentioned houses. There were 20,000 new homes have been built last year, 20,000. 16,000 people were helped to buy their first home. So we have that help to buy scheme. 10,000 additional social houses last year. We want to build 25,000 new homes next year. And some experts have said, if we can keep this up, and we have got it rafted up now, we will actually end up with enough houses for everybody. It will take a little bit of time yet because, as you said at the very beginning, that construction industry completely and utterly collapsed in 2011, 2010, 2011, 2012. There was nothing happening in the country. But this year, we're going to be building 25,000. It's not enough. We need to do more. And we're ramping it up and getting more. And you can see around the town here, there is activity here. There are apartments being built. There are houses being built here in Yall and elsewhere. In Middleton as well, there are 47 houses just about finished. There's another 40 starting shortly. And there's 90 more in another part of the town. And they're all ramping up. So we have, as I said, the Help to Buy scheme. And we're proposing to increase the maximum tax rebate for first-time buyers to €30,000 on the next budget. That's the money that people will get back for first-time buyers. The Help to Buy does that. It's currently capped at €20,000. And 15,000 first-time buyers have been helped since the scheme started. So the construction industry provides jobs and the houses are needed. And I'm also concerned about the number of properties in the towns, including y'all, that are sitting in idle in the, on the streets. And I'd like to see, and I've been pushing the County Council and the Department of Housing on this, I would like to see a lot of those properties being brought back in as homes for people. So people are living on the street. If someone is living on the street, they're going to walk up the road and they're going to buy a bottle of milk or a loaf of bread or whatever else they need. And there's life coming back into the centre of towns. And I've seen that all over the country as I travel around the country. Lots of the town centres. In the past, when you or I were younger, these were vibrant places. There were people living there, they were shopping there, they were doing business there. But people then decided to move out into housing estates. But I think there are, and I've seen some fantastic properties in where people are living. Apartments over shops, for instance, over shop living, lovely places. And one woman said to me, I can walk down the town, she said, I can buy the bit of meat, I can buy the bottle of wine, no problem whatsoever. So we have started this, we are making progress, we have an awful lot to do, a lot more to do. 25,000 new homes per next year, rising eventually to 35,000, and that's and eventually we'll crack this.
You know, you're almost robbing a tag from Fianna Fáil. A lot done, a lot more to do. We'll all remember that one. David, we've about a minute and a half to go. So you want to address the people of East Cork. What is it that you want to say to them to give you another chance to go back in there to Dáil Éireann to represent the people of East Cork? What is it that you want to achieve?
Well, I think this is a great area to live in, to work in, to recreate in. We have so much going for us here. The potential is enormous. This town here in Youghal, for instance, and in East Cork, it's amazing. When you look at the fantastic beach we have, when you look at the river out there that's totally underutilised, when you look at the heritage in this town and in the area, the potential is huge. And I want the opportunity to continue to develop that potential. The school here in Youghal, for instance, is getting another extension. The Kailash Public School is getting another extension because, again, we have pressures in East Cork with school numbers. We've got to look after our younger people and our older people, and people are living longer now, and people need to be looked after as they live longer to live healthy lives and to enjoy their lives safely. And that's why we've more Gardaí now on the beat, and we're hiring more Gardaí, hiring more nurses. We want to build hospitals. There's an elective hospital to be built in Cork. That's on the way. That's been decided. It's needed. There's been no new hospital in Cork for an awful long time. We need that. So I've been delivering here for the last almost 23 years for this area. I've been committed. We've delivered since I got into government. We delivered an awful lot for y'all. And even before that, I was fighting for y'all. I remember I had a catchphrase at the time, the pool and the school, and we got both of them. And I was kept on that and on that and on that. So that's what I'm asking the people to do, to support me as they have been doing for the last 22 years. I have delivered. I have been there for people at the end of a phone. I have a full-time office in East Cork staffed for people, and I want to continue with that service.
Before I let you go, David, and time is against us, in a word, the big hot potato of the last couple of days is the pension age. Yeah. Where are we standing now? Because there seems to be a little bit of confusion between Regina Doherty, your colleague in Social Protection, and then Charlie Flanagan in Justice.
Well, you see, what's happening is a lot of people have come to us that don't want to retire. So we upped the pension, the retirement age in the public sector to 70. That means people can continue on working if they wish until they're 70, because up to then people were forced to retire. And people now are living longer, as I said, they're healthier. And people have come to us and they said, look, I don't want to retire. I love my job. I love going out, meeting my friends, going to my place of work. So for those people who want to stay on working, yes, that's now possible. Unless if they're on a private contract, then that's another issue. And that needs to be sorted as well. But we don't want people to be in a situation where, having worked all their lives, they don't have a pension when they retire. I mean, that wouldn't make any sense. What's being looked at is a transition pension now, so that as the retirement age goes up to 67, 68, people won't be left without anything, without money, and they will have a transition payment, not the actual contributory pension itself, because the pension age will be going up. And that's happening across Europe. There are major issues in France about this. People are living longer, they want to work longer, but we don't want people to be without funding, without money. So we're introducing this transition pension, which will be the same level as the contributory pension for those people who don't want to continue working or who are unable to work.
Very good. Dave, we'll leave it there. Thanks for coming in. And you're very welcome down in Youghal anytime.
Absolutely.
I wish you well on the 8th of February. It's going to be unusual to have an election on a Saturday, and even more unusual to have a count on a Sunday, but we'll be there and we'll be...
Well, the schools won't be closed, and parents won't have to worry about getting childminders when the schools are closed and all that stuff. And a lot of people don't work on a Saturday, and they'll maybe find it easier to go to the polling station. So I would ask people to make the effort to go and vote. Many, many countries in the country don't have that privilege. We have that freedom here. It was hard fought for in the past. We have the freedom. We have a fantastic democracy. I love it. And let's support it by going out and voting. It's only once every couple of years.
Well, David Stanton, Minister of State at the Department of Justice, candidate for Fianna Fáil and Cork East.
Fine Gael.
Oops, that's a Freudian slip. We'll edit that out. Candidate for Fine Gael. And thank you for coming in.